Amen. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Been good to be here already. Man, that was pretty poor. Only one person said amen out of the whole crowd. I said, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Amen. That's a little better. All right, we'll get there. That's all right. You got to pull the choke before you can get the motor to start. Ain't that right? I ain't going to choke you this morning, but amen. Thank God for the chance He gave us to be here this morning. Appreciate everybody that's come out. And hope you get a blessing. I hope you come looking for one. Hope you come looking to get something from the Lord to meet with Him. I don't want to come to the house of God and not plan to meet Him here. I mean, I want to meet Him here. If you got your Bible this morning and you want to go with me, I'm in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Something God put on my heart after Wednesday night, something that He laid on my heart in my reading I was doing, and kind of saw some things in the passage here. God just began to speak to me, and pray that this blessing's a message to you, or that this message is a blessing to you. If you find your place there in Ecclesiastes 9, if you would please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Ecclesiastes is one of those odd books that's kind of hard to find at times, right after Proverbs and right before Lamentation or Song of Solomon, right before the Song of Solomon. I'll get mine in order here in a minute. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and we're going to start reading in verse 4, and we're going to read down through verse 12. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4 to verse 12. Here's what he says. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. And let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou hast taken under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Eddie Stewart, would you ask a blessing on the message, please? Amen. In this passage, what we're dealing with is we're dealing with the advantages of being alive versus being dead. And of course, anybody that would tell the truth honestly would tell you they'd rather be alive than not. I mean, I look forward to the Lord coming back. I look forward to seeing my Savior. But at the same time, I like living. I enjoy life. I enjoy going out here on the riverbanks and throwing a line in the water and catching a trout. I enjoy going out in the woods and sitting up in a tree and watching the deer run around. Even if I don't see deer, I often see squirrels or turkeys or something. I mean, I enjoy life. I enjoy living. And brother and sister, there's too much death in this world going on. And when I say death, I'm not just talking about a physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. You walk into a Baptist church anymore nowadays and it's a flip of the coin as to whether or not there's going to be a whole lot of life in it. You know what I'm saying? I tell you, brother and sister, there's so much more advantage to being alive than there is to losing life. But the world's beginning to forget that. How do you know, preacher? Because the suicide rate is higher now than it's ever been. Did you know that there is an average of 94 suicides a day in this country? In this country, there is an average of 94 suicides a day. That is almost twice that of a homicide. People are ending their lives two times more than people who are taking other lives. Why? Because the people are beginning to see reasons they don't want to live. They've decided that they'd rather end their lives than live their lives. And they all have their reasons. I don't understand them. I can't understand what it's like to be in that frame of mind. And by God's grace, I don't ever want to get that way and don't ever want to get to that place. I'm not saying I'm above that because I'm not above anything. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not above anything. I'm susceptible to anything anybody else is susceptible to. If I lose control or lose myself, the Bible says that the prodigal had to come to himself before he could get out of the hog pen. And you know, there's a lot of people who never do come to themselves. And they spend so much time out there in the hog pen that they get so down and depressed that they don't think there's any way out except that way. And I'm not talking bad about those people. They all have their reasons. But the whole point of this fact is that according to this book, that God is life and only from Him comes life. It's better to live than it is to die. He says that there's nothing to gain in death when it's not your time to go. He tells you that in the first few verses there. And in the first few verses, he tells you a living dog's better than a dead lion. He says the living know that they shall die. That's the advantage. He said, but the dead don't know anything. He said, eventually as time passes on, their memory will even be forgotten. Eventually, if enough time goes by, there won't be nobody alive to even remember who they were. And I'm going to tell you, as much as we like to think of ourselves sometimes, or I should say me, I won't fool you, but sometimes as much as I like to think of myself and think higher of myself than what I am, I have to consider the fact that if the Lord were to drop me right now and I was to go out of this world, aside from my church and my family, there wouldn't be a whole lot of people would really miss me, or some that wouldn't even really realize I'm gone. I mean, half of cashers probably wouldn't even realize that I was gone had it not gone into the obituary somewhere. Just to show you how much, I mean, that people really think of me or people really think of you. And I'm going to tell you, I'd like to think there'd be some folks miss me. And I'm sure there would be. But inside in the big picture, I'm going to tell you, brother and sister, there ain't a whole lot of people would even realize I'm gone. And I tell you, this world... Excuse me. This world that we live in still has some light in it. Why do you know? Because we're still here. Amen. I mean, Jesus Christ has not returned. The bride is not gone. So there's still some light in the world. But this is a dark time we live in. What I'm trying to get around to here is these people trying to end their lives because they don't feel like there's anything worth living for. And brother, I'm going to tell you, it's a dark world, but there's still some light in it, which means there's still a reason to live. There's still a reason to want to live. There's still a reason to want to get up. I mean, there's still life. There's still possibilities. There's still a chance to do something for God. There's time to try and make a difference in somebody's life, to show them Jesus Christ and understand the new life that He could give them. And I mean, yes, there's going to be trouble. And yes, there's going to be trials. And yes, there's going to be tribulations. But none of those things are even going to compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in us when we step into the presence of the Lord. And there's not going to be anything in our mind that's going to even remember the trouble that we had to go through when we step into His presence. As beautiful as heaven sounds and how much I want to see my Father, there's some things, brother and sister, that I don't want to miss because I'm so focused on what's going on around me. I don't want to be so sidetracked by what I have and what I'm going through that I miss out on what He's doing right in front of me. And that's why, I guess, if you want to say the title of this message is Some Things I Don't Want to Miss. And that's really, I'm going to tell you, brother, the only thing that I could think of is I was going from Wednesday night to today and I was praying and just kind of going off what God did Wednesday night, and I'd been praying and asking God to show me, tell me something, and along about the middle of the day, I guess, or early part of the morning yesterday, I was down in Bear Lake and I was working, and something just kind of come to my mind about the fact that I'm missing out on some things when I take too much time to wonder and worry about what's going on around me. Amen. I'm missing out on things. The reason I get so sidetracked by what's going on around me is because when I'm more focused on what's going on in my life as opposed to who is in my life, then I change from worry, then I change from him being the center to me being the center. Say, how do you know that? Just like Peter, when he stepped out on the boat and he walked on the water, he was heading towards the Lord, and as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, Jesus was the center of the storm because that's where his focus was. But when he got to looking around at what was going on around him, he became the center. And when that happened, he began to sink. And brother, I'm going to tell you, you're going to miss some things and I'm going to miss some things when we get so caught up and worried about the storm that's raging around us, the things that we've lost, the things that we went through. Now, I'm not belittling our losses. It's hard to lose a family member. It's hard to see somebody sick. It's hard to have this fellowship between people in your family that you love. It's hard to have this fellowship between people in your church that you care so much about. It's hard to see somebody you love not doing right with God. It's hard to see. Excuse me. It's hard to see those things. But it's hard to live through them. It's hard to think about Miss Jean laying over there in Asheville right now, and she's having such a hard time. It's hard to see those things and know that they're real and know that they're happening. It's hard to think about my younger brother down there in Florida laying in a vegetative state. It's hard to think about that, but beloved, I want to tell you something. I can get so focused on the storm that's going on around me that I miss out on the blessing God's got sitting right in front of me, and that's the whole point of my message this morning, if I don't want to miss what God's got right in front of me because I'm so focused on what's going on around me. I mentioned it during Sunday school and I said, you know, oftentimes we get to a place in prayer where it's, Lord, give me. Lord, I need. Lord, help this. Lord, do this. Lord, I need this. Lord, please be with that. Lord, do this. Instead of saying, God, I want to give you glory. God, I just want to give you some praise. God, I just want to give you everything I have to give you. God, I want to give you. We talked about God is love, and the Bible teaches us that you can love God and you can't, or you can't love God and not want to give Him something. You can't love your wives, men, and not want to give something to them. You can't love your husbands, ladies, and not want to give something to them. And that includes yourself. The first thing you give the person you love is yourself. You can't give them material possessions that will equal what it means for you to give yourself to them. And what makes it any different when we step into the throne room of grace and we bow our heads and we say, Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Whenever He's sitting here going, I've given you so much and what have you given me? But I get so focused and so sidetracked on the trouble and the trial, I'm not belittling the trouble. And I don't want you to think I'm telling you that your trials aren't something difficult. I'm not telling you that at all. But I'm going to tell you, we get so caught up in what's going on around us that we miss some things. We miss some blessings that God has in store for us when we get so caught up with the storm. We come to the house of God, what are we looking for? We have storms we're enduring. Yet when we come in here, our focus is always, God help me, I'm in a storm again. God help me, I've got this going on again. All week long it's been one fight after another fight after another fight after another fight. God, please help me. Sometimes it becomes all about me, 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 me. And I'm so focused on getting help with whatever storm it is that I'm having to fight through that it no longer becomes about the one who's in the middle of the storm with me. It just becomes about me. It just becomes about me. We can become so fixated on storm we miss out on what's offered to us right in front of us. And there's some things I want to talk about this morning, about some things that we're going to miss out on if we get too focused on the storm. And one of them, brother and sister, that we're going to miss out on is we're going to miss out on the shout. I tell you, I don't want to miss the shout. This might be a little personal this morning. This message I preach, you're going to hear me referring to me a lot. You might hear me say I a lot. But that's just because this is something God's ministered to my heart with. And I've hoped and prayed all evening and all morning this morning that it's going to be as much a help to you and a blessing to you. But I want to tell you, I don't want to miss out on the shout. I don't want to miss out on the opportunity God gives me to preach the book. And preach the word. What is that? Brother, that's all I shout about. I thank God. Why? Because if
Woo, if you knew what kind of something He saved me out of, if you knew the direction I was going in with my life and the turnaround that He made in me, I'd say you were the preacher's son. Yeah, they say they're the worst, and they get that way from playing with the deacon's kids. I can't imagine how my little niece is going to turn out, because her daddy's a deacon's son and her mama's a preacher's daughter. I can't imagine what kind of hellion that little one might turn out to be, though she's an angel to me. She couldn't do no wrong in her Uncle Josh's eyes. I ain't going to tell you what she called me. Yeah, Heather will laugh at you. I call her Booger. That's what I call her. She'll come in the house and I'll look at her and say, "Hey, Booger." See, Uncle Josh, that's what she'll call me. And here of late, she started calling me Uncle Booger. I guess that one kind of backfired on me a little bit. I don't want to miss out on a chance to preach God's Word. Isaiah was told in Isaiah 58:1, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." I don't want to miss out on the opportunity God gives me to stand up here and declare His truth. I tell you, I love the Word of God. I thank God so much for this book and how much this book's meant to me, and how many a night I've laid in a room by myself with that book curled up in my chest and shed tears and cried. And I've got some Bibles at the house that have some stains on them from the tears that I've shed because something God showed me in His book. And I tell you, it was just a rejoicing to me. And I don't want to get so cumbered about with things that I miss out on shouting, that I miss out on opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. People say, "Well, shouting's not for everybody." You just as well to get used to saying amen, glory to God, and hallelujah. Because when you get to heaven, that's all anybody's going to be saying. And they're not going to be saying it. Amen. Amen. It's not going to be amen.
That's right, brother.
That's good. Amen. Can you hear me, preacher? Amen. No. Bible says in the presence of the throne, there's seraphim up there, and day and night they don't cease to shout, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Brother, it's going to be going on up there. You just want to get used to it down here. I want to tell you something, Brother Taylor. The church of God today has absolutely lost their shout, and they have no desire whatsoever to rear back and holler. Sometimes you've got to shout your way through some trouble. Say, "Preacher, you don't know what kind of storms I'm going through." Yeah, I understand that you're going through some things. I'm going through things, but I don't want to miss a chance to shout. You know, the children of Israel, they were trying to get into a city that God told them to take. And whenever He did, He said, "This is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to do it. And on the seventh day, this is what's going to happen." And brother, I don't care what you say. I don't care what they might have tried to have done. They could have marched around that thing 100 times. They could have stood there and blown them trumpets and everybody sat still and watched and waited. But that wall would not have dropped had they not shouted. The Bible said, "Shout, for the Lord has given the city into your hands." Sometimes I tell you, brother, that middle wall of partition we were talking about this morning, Sunday school, can't be dropped except somebody rear back and just cut loose with a good shout. Amen. I don't want to miss out on the shout. I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to be so cumbered in life that I can't see what great things God's done for me. Get your Bible there and turn to the 126th Psalm. 126th Psalm. And there in the 126th Psalm, what you're going to read about there is you're going to read about when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. He said, then said the heathen among them, "The Lord hath done great things for them."
Yeah.
Brother, I want them to say that. Why? Because they look at me and see it. And then I want to give testimony like He says in the next verse, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we're glad." I don't want to miss out on to be able to shout because I forget about what God's done for me. Because I get so cumbered by the troubles, by the trials, by the storms, that I forget about what He's already done and shout some glory for it. I don't want to miss out on the shout. I'll tell you what else I don't want to miss out on that shouting. I don't want to miss the shout that's going to come when He gets back here. You get 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you get over there and get to reading, the Bible says, "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." With a shout.
I don't want to miss that. Say, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. I ain't worried about missing the rapture. What I'm talking about is I don't want to miss out on the anticipation of watching for it to happen, waiting for it to happen, listening for it to happen. I hope it happens right now. I'd like to go out of here shouting. I'd like to leave this world with a shout in my heart and joy in my soul and about 2 acres of glory running up and down my spine. But I'm going to tell you something. If I get too focused on the things that are going on in my life, I will miss the opportunity to shout the glory and shout the victory. I'll miss if I get too focused. Say, preacher, you sound like you're putting us down. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not putting down any burden you might be carrying. I'm not going to put down any trouble you might have. I'm telling you, don't get so fixated on the trouble and on the trial that you miss out on the opportunity God gave you to have a good, joyful heart within you. Well, I tell you what, He wouldn't let me preach this had I not been going through some things too. You know, it's easy to sit there and not listen to a message like this to somebody who ain't been going through it. And I ain't saying I'm going through just as much as everybody else. I'm telling you, I still don't believe the Lord's rewarded me as much as my iniquities deserve. I'm telling you, He's not giving me half of what I'm owed. His mercy has given me that which I don't deserve, and His grace has held back that which I do. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. I'm very, 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 very spoiled when it comes to the blessings of God because I ain't got near what I ought to have coming to me. But I'm going to tell you something. When you go through some things and you endure some things and you begin to look around you and you get to noticing, brother and sister, that something's missing, and that's what I got to doing earlier this week. I got to thinking about her brother. I got to thinking about other things that have been going on all around us and our family, the people who were here Wednesday night. I tell you, and I hope this is all right. I'm not trying to hold anything, and we're not secretive here, but I'm not going to put that message and that service we had Wednesday night on that website. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because that was personal. Amen. That was personal. That was something that I needed. That was something the church needed. That's personal, and I'm not going to put that out there for everybody to listen to. I've been praying about that, and the Lord just kind of told me, no, you just keep that one in your hip pocket. If you want a copy of it, I got it on the chip thing back there. Brother Eddie knows how to put you a CD. He can make you a CD, and you can listen to what happened. But I'm going to tell you something. I got to a point where I was beginning to think more every morning. I'd wake up, and instead of waking up saying, good morning, Lord, thank you again for another day, I was waking up thinking, okay, now what am I going to find out today? What am I going to get told today? What's the news from Florida going to be today? You know, get to thinking, worry about that stuff, man, I tell you. You know what it'll do? It'll take that shout away. Take away the joy. Trials and tribulations are set up to do that. It got down to about Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. I was thinking about it. I was like, man, I'm going to have to go to church and I'm going to have to preach and teach. And I said, I want God's power on me. I don't want to be like this, you know? I don't want to be cumbered down like this where I don't feel like I can just have liberty and be free with the liberty of God to do His will. I don't like it. And I got to praying. And I said, Lord, I know there's a lot of stuff going on. But God, I need some fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I need to preach. I need to do what You've called me to do so I can still feel like I've got something that's in me that's going on, that's right, that's good, that's alive. Brother, we're talking about life compared to not living. And I'm going to tell you, whenever you get that feeling that there's no life within, that the Spirit of God has not stepped away just a minute, brother, I tell you, it scares me to death and I go frantically looking and feeling and grabbing, trying to find out where it went. He's become such a big part of my life. I can't stand it if I feel like He steps away for a minute. Say, so you think He'd leave me? No, He'd never leave me for Satan. Ever. I don't want to miss out on the shout. And I don't want to miss out on the chance to receive rewards, brother and sister, because I didn't look for Him. He tells you in 2 Timothy 4:8, talking about the Apostle Paul. He said, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to them also that love His appearing. I don't want to miss a chance to get rewarded because I wasn't watching. That I got so focused on the storms going on around me that I forgot to look for the Master of the sea.
Amen.
Amen. Tell you something else I don't want to miss out on. I don't want to miss out on the tears. Wednesday night, I don't think there's an eye left this house that hadn't shed a tear. So you talking a lot about Wednesday night, you want to get you a copy of that. I'm going to tell you, God showed up and met with us.
Amen.
We started off doing a little teaching, and then I got to doing a little preaching, and then the Holy Ghost just stepped in, and it was just all Him. I'm going to tell you what a blessing that was. And they wasn't 10 of us here. You know that? I didn't even realize that there wasn't 10 of us here. Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Indeed.
If you're there, y'all ain't there, but back, if you go back to Ecclesiastes, you look in chapter 4 and verse 1, here's what you're going to read. You're going to read, "So I return," and here, now listen, we're talking about these storms now. He says, "So I return and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on this side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter." Brother and sister, you ever went through something and felt like there wasn't nothing there could appease that problem, or nothing that could get anywhere near touching what it was that your heart needed? But you know, I'm glad to say this morning that we've got a comforter, and He's the comforter of all comforters. He came down on the day of Pentecost, and He ain't left, brother and sister, He ain't never left. He's a great comforter. And we've got him. David said, "Thou tellest my wanderings, thou puttest my tears into thy bottle." He said, "Are they not in thy book?" That's in Psalms 56, verse 8. He says, "Thou puttest my tears in a bottle." I got to thinking about that. Putting tears in a bottle. I got to thinking, you know, what if the Lord up there in heaven has bottles on a shelf, and they're mine. There's my shelf. This one over here says Josh Holden, Pastor Heady Mountain Baptist Church. And over here he's got one that says Candler Young, Deacon of Heady Mountain Baptist Church. And Bill Connor, and over here. And then on those, he's got Mindy, and then he's got Heather, and then he's got Sorrell and Laura, and then he's got Abby, and he's got Mona, he's got Issa, and he's got Miss Theta, and he's got, and all your names are hung up there on the wall, and under your name is a shelf, and on the shelf is some bottles. And I wonder, brother and sister, if each of those bottles represented the tears that we've shed. Some of them be tears of pain, some of them be tears of sorrow, some of them be tears of fear. But brother, I wonder how many would be some tears of joy.
Amen.
How many tears of joy could we have shed? Not because we came up here and bawled our eyes out because we had a burden, but come up here and bawled them out because we're glad that we ain't got to miss out on some of the things that we would otherwise have to miss out on because we were too focused on the trouble going on around us.
Amen,
I don't want to miss out on the chance to shed tears before Him, not just here in front of everybody, but at home. When nobody can see them but Him. When nobody can see my tears but Jesus. And I shed my tears there before Him. I don't want to miss that opportunity to shed some tears. And then I want to say this. I don't want to miss the message. I don't want to miss out on the blessing of God giving the message. I tell you, that's just a feeling like I can't describe it to you. Is being over prayer and constantly. And I'm going to tell you something. If you know the kind of mind that I've got, you know some of these messages I can't just come up with, okay? I'm not that creative. But I want to tell you something. There ain't nothing like it when you're going through the Word of God, or you're just praying, or going through your day. I mean, the message that we preached on last Sunday morning about the walk of faith, and talking about walking through faith and in faith and on faith and with faith and by faith, and we talked about all of that. And I tell you, I was on a job site in the middle of pumping concrete, and that stuff just started coming into my mind. And when it did, I looked at my brother-in-law. I said, "Here, hold this." And he reached and got, and here he is with the hose getting jerked around, and I reached and grabbed my notepad out of my pocket, and I just went to write. And he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "It's the message God wants me to preach on Sunday." He said, "Man, can't that wait?" And I said, "No, because it'll leave if I don't write it down right now." I said, I got to write that down or I forget it. And here he is. This hole's just a giving him like that. He goes, I could really use some help. And I just reached over and put my foot on it while I wrote. Oh, he was mad at me. But it's all right. I don't want to miss out on the blessing of that message being given. I don't want to miss out on the challenge that it puts on me to do right. I don't want to miss out on that challenge that I get whenever I stand before you to preach the Word of God, and I've got to make sure that I've got my heart like it's supposed to be and I've done like I'm supposed to do so that the Holy Ghost of God can speak through me and minister to your heart.
Amen.
I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to miss the thrill of knowing I'm His son, and because I am, He cares enough about me to give me what I need, even if it's something I don't like at the time. But I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to miss out on the blessing of studying His Word so I can know more about Him. I can't imagine what it was like for old man, brother, Ray Bennett, old blind butcher down there in Silva. He's dead and gone now. And I talked to that old man on the phone, and that old man couldn't even read. He couldn't read his Bible. He's blind. And the only thing he could do was sit and listen to it, be read to him, or turn on the radio and listen to some preacher on the radio. And that's all he could do. And I thought to myself, God, You gave me these eyes so that I could see and I could look upon the words of Your truth. And God, have mercy on me for neglecting that book like I do sometimes. God, forgive me for just going in there and breathing over a chapter, scanning over a page, and thinking that I've got something from You when I ain't even so much as asked Your blessing on Your reading of Your Word. How many of you in here today got eyes that see perfectly well, and yet it takes, so if we've got time, that's when we'll step in and pick that book up and try to read a little. And then if we've got through, if we say, oh, it took us 30 seconds or 45 seconds to read through a chapter, that'll suffice. Now, some people, that may be all they can get. And if that's all you can get, that's fine. But if you're capable of doing more, I tell you, I don't get it how some folks can get these books, these romance novels and these e-books and this and all this stuff or whatever, and they can spend forever reading them love stories and them. I mean, I like to read books besides the Bible. I enjoy reading other books too, and I enjoy it. But I tell you, I don't want to end up spending more time doing those books than I do spending time in this one. I ought not be doing that. What happens if I do? I'll miss out on the message. I'll miss out on the message. And then I want to say this. I don't want to miss out on the fellowship. You know, the fellowship of this world don't gain me anything spiritually. It don't do me no good. I've got friends that are in this world that ain't saved. But they are friends. I call them friends. I mean, I don't know what kind of shape I'd be in if I got in a tight pickle and needed them. But I like to think of them that they're fairly good friends. They're just not saved. I wish they'd get saved. I really do. I wish they'd get saved. But I'll tell you, fellowship with them don't do nothing for me like what the fellowship with y'all does.
Amen.
I need fellowship with other Christians. And that's what gets me through spiritually. I don't want to miss it. I need to be around the saints of God. That's what I've got to have. Bible says we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what David said. I don't want to miss out on the fellowship. And then lastly is this. And if anything, this is probably one of the more important. I don't want to miss out on the weight. I don't want to miss out on the weight. Now when I say this, here's what I'm talking about. I don't want to miss out on the weight for the power to fall. Elijah up on Mount Carmel and the 450 prophets of Baal got up there and they were up there doing their, they were cutting themselves and jumping up on the altar, hollering and yelling for Baal to come down and answer by fire. You know what Elijah did? He had to sit there and wait. I mean, he could have given them an hour, he could have given them a half an hour and be like, all right, it ain't done no good. It ain't done no good. He ain't answering and he knew he wasn't going to answer.
Amen.
He knew that that God of Baal would not answer because he was a God, a false God. He wasn't a good, he didn't even exist. But you know what he was doing? He was waiting patiently because he knew that the longer them boys went, the less and less and less people's confidence would be in that God. And when the God of heaven actually answered by fire and the fire actually fell, the people would believe. And brother, I don't want to miss out on the wait for the power to fall. You know, sometimes we come in here on a Sunday morning and we have to listen to the preaching and we have to endure the teaching and it's just enough to cumber the ground up and clear it off a little bit. But sometimes that's what we've got to have and get that ground cleared off so we can come back Sunday night or Wednesday night and watch God do a little planting. Watch God do a little sowing and start seeing something happen rather than just clear off the ground and then next Sunday morning, we come back and the briars are up again. Got to clear them off again. And then we got to come back and clear them off again. I don't want to miss out on the wait for the power to fall. But how can I expect the power to fall if I'm not where I'm supposed to be? I don't want to miss out waiting for the power to fall. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've already said it once or twice. I'll say it again. If you missed Wednesday night, man, you missed something. I'm going to tell you, God met with us in a way that I'm going to tell you, and I ain't saying that God don't meet with us. He does. But that meeting that we had Wednesday night was one like we ain't had in a while. And I'm going to tell you, the whole Spirit of God just walked into this place and He filled every single pew. And the Lord just opened up the doors of heaven. And I was able to get a lot of help and a lot of strength for my soul. And it seemed like everybody in here did shed some tears and people got their hearts moved and people began to move. And I'm going to tell you, when we finished service, it wasn't, is there questions or comments? Okay, let's be dismissed. No, it was everybody in this altar together praying and calling on God, bringing burdens and laying them down, bringing cares and putting them at the foot of the throne. And if it wasn't burdens, it was rejoicing, coming down here and shedding tears of gladness and tears of joy because of what God had done for us. I had to get down on my knees and thank God for all the storms that my family has been going through in the last month. I had to get down there and say, God, I'm glad that my brother had a car accident. I'm glad that he is where he is because I know all things work together for good to them that love God, and I know you're going to do something through this, and I just pray that you'll be merciful but accomplish your will to the fullest. Thank you, God, that we've been considered able and well and body to be able to endure some of the things that you've wanted us to endure.
Amen, brother.
Say, God, thank you for all the other trials that we've had to deal with. Thank you, God, for all the weight that is on us. Thank you, God, for the burden that we've got to carry. Thank you, God, that the burden we're carrying don't compare to Calvary's cross and how heavy it was. Thank you, God, that I'm not bearing the sin of the world on my shoulder because everybody'd go to hell if I was. And man, I'm going to tell you what, I don't think He could have done that had we not done what we were supposed to. You know, the Lord blesses the faithful. The Lord blesses the faithful. And man, I'm going to tell you, He showed up here. Mary and Martha thought He was late. Yet He's right on time.
Yeah,
they thought He was late. Said He's dead. Lazarus is dead. He's in there 4 days. He stinks. He said, He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Right,
he's right on time. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. I mean, it seems like we've shouted and we've had a good time of amens here this morning. Somebody's getting something, I know. I mean, if nobody else gets anything, I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time this morning. I'm enjoying being here. But I want to tell you this. For some people, and I ain't saying it's you, if you think it's you, that's between you and God. That ain't nothing to do with me. But there's some people who, brother, they won't get in no rush when it comes to being on the clock at work. We ain't going to get in no rush. Those of you who do contract work, you know what I'm talking about, but if the job we're doing is cost plus, we don't get in no rush. The longer we're there, the more money we make. Amen? They ain't getting no amen now. That's right. We don't get in no rush when we're on vacation. We don't get in no big hurry when we're, and I'm not meddling here, I'm preaching. Y'all just don't take offense, just listen to the message. But we don't get in no rush when we're sitting on the deck of a cruise ship. We don't get in no rush when we're in Pigeon Forge or at Dollywood. We don't get in no rush when we're sitting at the campground somewhere. We don't get in no rush. Why is it when we get in here, we want two songs and a couple of specials, and then the preacher get long-winded, but we want to make sure we give him all the attention we can so that we can get out of there by about 12 or 12:15. We get in a hurry. We won't get in a hurry when it comes to work. We'll stay out there and work till dark because we know there's something coming for it. We go on vacation, we sure ain't getting in no rush because we don't want to have to come back to work and whatever's going on, and we don't want to run out of the fun things to do. We won't get in no rush. Why is it we get in such a rush when we're in here? I mean, you know, there's no hurry around the dinner table, you know. When we're all sitting down to the dinner table and it's a good meal, big meal, we don't get no rush then. You know why? Because we're feeding our other God. The Bible says some of them, their God is their belly. Some of you might be sitting here right now and every time you hear a little something, you're looking around and it's you. Somebody's doing it. I know they are. I always worried about that happening to me up here and that mic being where it is and it just picks that up. You know? Something's rendezvous. I'm thinking about that Reuben out there, you know. I don't want to miss out on the wait. You know? All the while we spend worrying about the storms, wanting to get help and get out of the storms. What if He don't want you out of the storm? What if He doesn't want you out of the storm? What if He doesn't want you? What if He doesn't want to help you get out? What if it's His will you stay in? If it's His will that I stay in the storm, I still don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on all the things. I mean, I want to keep my eyes on Him because He's the center of the storm. He's the center. Peter kept his focus. As long as he kept his focus on Jesus, he stayed on top of the water. But the minute he got to looking around, he became sick. He wasn't looking at, I've got to get to Him. If I could just get to Him. I want to get to Him. But it went from that to, oh Lord, is that wave going to be too high for me to handle if I don't? I mean, you got to think they're out in the middle of the sea. If you've ever been out on the high sea when there's some big swells, I'm going to tell you. I went out on a big old fishing boat one time and chartered a deep sea fishing trip, and some of them swells, we were in 10 or 12 foot swells on an 80 foot boat. And I'm going to tell you, you felt them. And you know, I got to thinking about that, and I thought about Jonah out there in the deep when that big old whale come up and got him. And then I thought about Peter and that storm that was going on, and there wasn't no storm going on when we was fishing, it was just windy. But I thought about old Peter walking out there and stepping out of that water and hear a 20-foot swell come by. He just had to wait. But as he saw them swells coming around him and all that stuff going on, he got to looking around. Is that going to be too big? Am I going to be able to get over that one? Well, what if that one gets over the top of me? Will I be able to get back out? And when he began to look around, he no longer became the focus. I was. Can I do it? Can I make it? Can I handle it? And the answer is no. You can't. You can't. That's why He's in the center. He's in the eye of the storm. You know, I was listening to that song on the way to church this morning. I find rest in the eye of the storm. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. keep me safe till the storm passes by. And then they got to sing another song about, I find rest in the eye of the storm, and I have found a faithful friend. And I thought about that. And then they got on there and sang, Oh, Thou Blessed Rock of Ages. And I thought, man, as long as I keep my feet on the Rock of Ages, as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, these storms are going to flow, and they're going to move, and some of them waves might hit me, and they might knock me down. But as long as I stay on the rock, as long as I keep my feet planted on the rock, brother, I don't want to miss the things that might come by my way if I keep looking around at the storm. I'm human just like you are, and I worry about the storms as well, but I don't want to get so focused on the storm that I might be doing something or what I'm doing that I might miss out on what He's got right in front of me. I don't want to miss out on the shout. I don't want to miss out on the tears. I don't want to miss out on the message or the fellowship. And I sure don't want to miss out on the wait. You know why I don't want to miss those things? Because in them, in the shout, in the tears, in the message, in the fellowship, and in the wait, He is glorified. Because it's all about Him. And it's not about me. It's all about Him. When I shout because of Him. When I cry to Him. When I get a message, it's about Him. And when I fellowship with you, it's because we can have fellowship because of Him.
Amen.
And when I'm waiting on Him.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on Him. Because it's all about Him. The old preacher Harold Sightler, he's dead and gone, been gone for a long time. And he'd walk up and down the aisles of his church and people just on pins and needles because that old man could preach. I got a message there. He's actually on sermon audio. And there's a message on there he preaches called Can God? Amen. I took a little of his message when I preached Can God. And that old man get up there and people would just be sitting on the edge of their seat waiting to hear what that old preacher had to say. And you know, one time he just walked up and he said, what we need is an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-filled church service. He turned around, he walked up, and he sat down. And nobody moved. And they didn't move. And they didn't move. And he didn't move. Finally, one of his deacons got up, walked up, and said, Pastor, do you want to dismiss? He goes, y'all can leave if you want to. He said, but I'm waiting on Him.
Amen.
He wasn't going to start until the Lord showed up.
Amen.
He said, I don't care if it's 10 o'clock. I don't care if it's 11 o'clock. I don't care if it's 6 o'clock or 9. I don't care what time it is. I'm not starting until He shows up.
Amen.
And beloved, I'm going to tell you, we get so caught up in the storms and what's going on around us that we end up letting this become routine. And when this becomes routine, we just go right along with everything and schedules. I mean, 10 o'clock we start Sunday school and get up here and sing two songs, and then we take up an offering while she plays, and then they get up and they might sing two or three, and then by 11:30 or so I'm up here and I'm preaching and I'm looking at my watch and I'm thinking, oh man, it's getting on towards 12, I need to hurry. And all the while, he's out there on the porch saying, they started without me. And we get ready to walk out the doors. He's walking up. He says, where are y'all going? We're done. We're going to go get something to eat. You missed service. I missed service. I am the service.
Amen. Yes, sir, brother.
I didn't miss the service. I am the service. You started without me. And if I were going to stand up here and preach for another 30 or 45 minutes, some of you might get a little hair-lipped and might get a little antsy and want to leave. You might. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, what good is coming here when our focus has been on the storm so much that we missed Him. We missed Him. We got so focused on what we were going through Now, again, I'm not putting down what we went through. Then loss of life, everything that we're going through, everything that y'all are going through, sickness, illness, Miss Winona, Miss Jean, everybody's going through things. But we get so focused on those things, and God, get me out of this storm, and God, help me with this storm, and God, help me with this storm, that we forget He is the storm. He is in the eye of the storm. He is the rock of ages.
Amen.
He is. And we get so focused on what we have going on that we forget to have Him. And we miss Him. I don't want to miss the shout. I don't want to miss the tears, the message, the fellowship, or the wait. Why? Because He is in them all and He's glorified in them all. That's what I don't want to miss. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. If you're here this morning, the Lord spoke to your heart and you need to come. I'd like to offer you this chance to come. Storms, trouble. Troubles come, storms come. I don't want to miss these things. I love this song. The unseen hand. I don't want to miss that either. We're going to miss some things. If we keep all of our focus on what we're going through as opposed to Him. What are you going through today? What are you having to endure? What burden are you carrying? I'll tell you what we learned. Bring it up here and lay it down. So I'm going to keep it right here. I'll tell you what, I'll pray about it right here in my seat. No, don't do that. Good Lord. How many times have we said we're going to do that and we walk out the door and we keep it with us? Carry it right out the door. And it stays with us. Bring that thing up here, just lay it down and walk away. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not getting in no hurry. If you got somewhere you need to be, that's fine. Go ahead. You need to go, go on. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not leaving until He says it's time to quit. I'm going to be obedient to Him. Because I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out. Ain't nothing in town that I've got to have that can't wait. sister's down here praying. I'm going to let her have all the time she wants. Give her all the time she needs. I don't care how long she takes. If we have to let everybody go, everybody can go. I'll get down here and pray with her. But I'm not going to miss a chance. I don't want to. I've missed enough. I appreciate your attention this morning. Hope God's blessed you. Thank God for the chance to be here. And I appreciate everybody coming out. I hope the message was a blessing. It was a blessing to me when the Lord gave it to me. It's been a blessing to get to preach it. And I look forward to God moving and doing again. I mean, I've had my ground tilled a little bit this morning. And I've had some things cleared off, you know. And now I'm looking for Him to do some planting. Amen. Anybody got anything on your heart before we go? And I'm not putting down what we're going through. But what I would like to hear right now is if anybody's got something to offer thanks to God for and not ask for something. We ask all the time. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.